Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, 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 well. Look what we have here. One Bruce Wolf.
Hello again, everybody.
How are you, Bruce?
Very good. Happy President's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did you get a gift for me?
I didn't realize you were one of the presidents. You know, I can name all the presidents in order.
Oh, let's, you know what? Let's take it to 9 o'clock. Let's take
sure,
it to my
it'll
calendar.
Take me that long.
I've got the first hours. One. George Washington.
You got that right? We'll alternate here. All right.
Well, that's so, the reason, though. You do, that's why we have President's Day, to honor George Washington.
Well,
now it's turned into all the presidents.
Well, sure, because we're so democratic and egalitarian. And we used to have Washington's birthday, which actually was February 22nd, and Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. We used to celebrate those separately. I don't think we necessarily got them off from school or work because we were less wussy in those days. Now everybody's off. You know, there's like a holiday every couple of weeks in this America. We just had Super Bowl Monday off.
In wintertime, yeah. There's President's Day, and then there's Teachers Institute Day, and then we had the polar vortex. So, yeah, it's nice.
2 days off for that.
No, you know, three days off for that.
In my day,
yes,
we didn't have the wussy wind chill. Okay, which magnified and inflated the cold when it was 15 below in my day. We walked to school because it's only 15 below, not with the wind chill of, 170.
Well, you chose the best week to fill in because Andrew McCabe, second in line for the FBI, went on 60 Minutes. We'll have that about the truth behind wearing the wire. We have the president's emergency declaration on the border.
Sure.
But most, and of course, my God, that horrific
spring
shooting.
Spring training, pitchers and catchers.
The horrific shooting in Aurora where five blessed souls lost their lives. How it could have been prevented. But we're going to start with Jussie Smollett because, like many Chicagoans, I'm obsessed with this case.
Me too.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love it.
So, all right.
Can
so,
I make a confession, though?
Sure.
Not until Mike Scott read his name on the air during the newscast did I realize that it's the second syllable that is accented on Jussie Smollett, because I get all my news from Twitter, and I've read countless and tweeted endlessly about this myself. But Twitter's the place to get your news, because if you read, like, the Chicago TV reporters and that CWB, which...
Oh, CWB is great. Do you know those are five guys that will always remain anonymous? Because I reached out to them. They do not want to be known.
I thought that
they've got great sources.
I thought that they were the network that gave us Dawson's Creek and knocked the Cubs off Channel 9. So I and then I'm wondering, do the reporters, like for Channel 7 and Channel 32, who were covering this pretty well, do they read CWB?
No, they don't.
Okay.
So here's the big news. We knew on Friday.
But I didn't know how to pronounce the guy's name.
We know late last week that they had taken
Jussie.
They had taken the two Nigerian brothers in for questioning, and we knew that they had to have them released or charged by about 10 o'clock Friday night. Well, they decided to release them, but for 48 hours, these two brothers, Ola and Abel,
Olajuwon,
did not come clean. And then finally, when they had the papers in front of them, Kim Fox signed off saying, "You're going to be charged with aggravated battery and a hate crime. And you're going to go to jail for decades." That is when they came out and they told the truth.
Kim Fox is tough on criminals? News bulletin.
Well, they came clean. They claim. They had their attorney with them, Gloria Schmidt. She was with them the entire 48 hours.
It's all red.
Did Jussie Smollett set this up?
You know, there's still a lot of moving parts to this. So I am here for my clients. And I had a job to do specifically for them, so I'm not part of Jussie's defense.
That's attorney speak for yes.
Yeah, and our sources have confirmed that the brothers, Ola and Abel, don't forget their names, and I'm not pronouncing their last name, Jussie paid them $3,500. and with a promise of $500 later on
it's
down the road.
Cheap.
They know each other because they work out together at the same gym. They're his trainers because he's supposedly going to be making a music video soon, so he wanted to get in shape. They practice this.
Abel, not too well, apparently.
Well, Abel's the one. He bought the rope, by the way. It was a clothesline, not a noose, at the Crafty Beaver on Lawrence.
Nice.
And he
Hardware
held
store.
The noose around his neck while he poured bleach on him. His brother had on a red hat that he got at an Uptown Beauty Supply store. It didn't say MAGA on it.
Of course,
because
you can't
red.
Find a MAGA hat in Chicago, and you can't find Trumpians in Chicago.
Exactly. So they had the, and he's the one who, so he held the noose around his neck and poured some bleach on him, and the guy in the red hat, Ola, was yelling the racial slurs.
See, I'd want my money back if I were Jussie Smollett.
No, they went out of town. They went to Nigeria for 2 weeks, but that wasn't enough time for this to blow this over.
Dan is in Nigeria right now playing in the Nigerian Open. That's what I heard. The Lagos Open.
But Jussie Smollett was defiant. I mean, why would he go on Good Morning America? And the bigger question is,
in order to lie?
Well, yes. To perpetuate this lie. And
sure.
He's cold. He's calculated. I know some people were saying he's
a sociopath.
He's a sociopath,
right,
or mentally ill.
Right.
Who the make something like this up or add something to it or whatever it may be? I can't even. I'm an advocate.
Oh, he's an advocate. But just remember,
and
what
I'm the king of England.
What he said
on President's Day.
I mean, the great detail that he gave, and oh, how he suffered, Bruce. Oh.
As I was crossing the intersection, I heard Empire. And I don't answer to Empire. My name ain't Empire.
Okay, can you try?
And I didn't answer. I kept walking, and then I heard Empire. So I turned around and I said, "Did you just say to me?" And I see the attacker masked, and he said, "This MAGA country punches me right in the face." So I punched his back.
Yeah, right.
And then we started tussling.
Uh-huh.
And I was very
those
icy.
Two dudes.
And we ended up tussling by the stairs.
Tussling.
Do you want to tussle, Bruce?
Fighting. There was a second person involved who was kicking me in my back.
Oh, yeah,
and,
right. I can't hear him lie
Cujo's,
anymore.
As Michael Jordan would say, and happy 56th birthday belatedly to Michael Jordan. Cujo's, as MJ would say, to Robin Roberts for the scrutiny that she applied to Jussie Smollett in this interview. You know how they're distinguishing what the media apologists and what they're doing right now?
What?
They're saying, well, that was just a celebrity interview. That's not a news interview.
Oh,
so,
really?
So they should have like a chyron on all these interviews. This is just a celebrity interview. We're not really interested in getting the facts.
Well, here's the deal. Smollett and his team, they're doubling down on this story. They released a statement yesterday. Are you ready for this? As a victim of a hate crime?
Yeah.
Who has cooperated with the police investigation, Jussie Smollett is angered and devastated by this recent report that the perpetrators are individuals he's familiar with. He's now been further victimized.
Yes, I agree.
By claims attributed to these alleged perpetrators that Jussie played a role in his own attack. Nothing is further from the truth, and anyone claiming otherwise is lying.
A couple of things here.
Are the two attorneys, and it is not Mike Monaco released this statement.
Yeah, he's got Victor Henderson, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was the attorney for the Jackie Robinson West team. I have to Google.
Well, Google that then?
No, but here's the thing. We have the bleach, we have the rope, we have the subway. But it still could be Colonel Mustard and Professor Plum. So it's
so
not necessarily
is, you know,
those
when
two
will
guys.
Jussie Smollett be arrested, and why are they waiting for him to come in with his attorney?
Today,
they should go out there and get him.
They're meeting today. That's the latest I heard, the bright one.
Well, and should his character be written off the show immediately? And when will the politicians come forward and denounce his actions? Should he go to prison for the stunt? Should he have to pay for the resources wasted?
So many questions.
We had 20 detectives working on this case, Bruce. If I get killed today on the streets of Chicago, I'll be lucky to have one,
Chicago,
maybe two.
Chicago has a shortage of detectives. That's a big problem in the neighborhoods.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey debt pro answer line. 64636. Type in DA, then a quick question.
Can I call in?
Yes, you can call in.
Things to say.
We're going to hear from you up next.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. crime or a hate crime or a hoax. That's what we're talking about, Jussie Smollett. I want you to listen to this real quickly. Cory Booker, last Thursday, took to the Senate floor to talk about this because, you know, he's down with the struggle.
Weeks ago, an actor, an activist, was brutally attacked in Chicago. Two men yelling racial and homophobic epithets.
Yeah, and he tried to walk that back a little last night.
Well, the information is still coming out. I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out from on-the-record sources. I'm following this in the news as you are, and we'll see what happens.
But yesterday, this civil rights leader in Los Angeles, his name is Najee Ali. He's one of the first people to come out and support Jussie Smollett. He held a news conference yesterday demanding that Smollett get arrested.
We have many members of the black community and the LGBT community who have been the victims of racism and hate crimes. So for Smollett to say that he was a victim of racism and hate crime, and we believe that is a lie, certainly is an injustice to those true victims of racism and hate crimes.
Funny you should mention the LGBTQ. W-E-R-T-Y-U-I-O-P.
Yeah, yeah, get to it. What?
Sure. Angle on that. Because, you know, there's this legislation that was going through.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Steve,
you're
hear legislation, my eyes roll over. Let's
I think
get
they
to
just
the
ended my filibuster.
I did.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I believe that if we prove that he is guilty of lying, then he should be charged with reverse hate crime. And he also should be the winner of the fake news award for the year also.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, if you know that he could get like 3 years for this. Do you know who's handling his damage control, crisis management? Ann Kavanaugh? Who I worked with at Fox, and I've known her for 32 years. She handled Jason Van Dyke.
Right, right.
And he could have gotten 90 years. He only got 6 years. So I'm thinking I'm thinking Jussie won't get 3 years. At most, the judge is going to sentence him to a year of reading The Federalist.
He might.
That's all.
He might need a few crisis managers. Philip, you're in Blue Island. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. You all are having such a great time. But over the weekend, I think that Trump himself, I'm getting somewhere, he's claiming that there's some type of national emergency on the southern border. So now he's going to write some legislation or whatever, try to claim some money from the governments or from the military and so forth and so on. And you all are just so falling over backwards to do everything Trump says. But this guy has to be somewhat mentally ill. Yes. He should.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
No, he's an elitist. No. He wasn't getting enough attention as a gay black man, and he wanted more, so he sent letters to himself. This, Philip, began January 22nd, and police are investigating this when he got a threat letter.
You think he sent the threatening letter to himself?
Oh, God, no. He had the brothers do it, and then they put sugar in there, but they thought it was anthrax, so they cleared the area.
Well, I love Ann Coulter's claim that the only national emergency is that there's an idiot in the White House.
Well, Philip, you know so much about the president.
We are going to talk about the declaration of a national emergency.
Philip, it's President's Day. You're so smart. Who was the 8th president of the United States? Who was
Bruce,
it?
Bruce. Philip. Bruce.
8th president?
Yeah. Don't Google it.
Warring.
Warring. Well, that's a hybrid.
Warren.
Yeah, Earl Warren.
Okay.
You're right. Thank
Good
you.
Good job, Phil.
Martin Van Buren.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
I inhaled.
On AM 560.
I think that it gives a lot of people joy. And we need more joy.
Is that Kamala Harris?
Yeah, she wants to be your next president.
You know,
and she likes to smoke the doobie.
In an era in which reporters try to boost Kamala Harris's campaign by encouraging her to do a cutesy thing like trying on a sequin jacket, I guess we must congratulate local TV reporters who did the job the right way in the Smollett story. It's defining excellence down.
312-642. Oh, that was a tweet of yours?
Got a little traction.
312-642-5600 is a turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
I got a question. I hear somebody very close to me was pretty close to these brothers.
Well, they live right by me. I mean, they went to Lakeview High School. They played football there. So literally, I walk past their house all the time, walking bunky, or their apartment complex. So I went Saturday to knock on the door. I went actually Sunday, yesterday too. I knew Saturday they were home. First time
Wait
I went to the house,
you just
they have two dogs.
To their house?
Well, I know where they live, and the door was busted in from Wednesday's raid. You know, as piecemealed together, but you could hear the dogs barking in the background. And when the dog came to the door, and then later, it was a big dog. It sounded like a German Shepherdish. Okay. And then they had a little tiny one of those purse dogs.
Is there a reason?
And then the second time I went, they didn't answer the door, but there was screaming and yelling going on, like you could not believe. It was a first floor apartment, walk up, you know, so there's no gate. And you can hear people talking behind the walls.
I told
screaming.
You to hide the bleach. I told you not to leave the bottle there. What are you going to the Crafty Beaver for? And pay cash next time. Oh, come on, man. And, you know, next time, can we at least get the attack on the surveillance camera so that we get our audition tape? Come on, man.
There's more to this, though.
Come on, man.
I think they did this alleged attack somewhere else and then pretended they were on the street. I don't know. There's
Wait,
so
I have
many...
to do it again in a Nigerian accent. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't go there. Jussie Smollett, all about the truth, though.
I think that what people need to hear is just the truth.
Well, you should start telling the truth.
There is no doubt in your mind what motivated this attack.
I could only go off of their words. I mean, who says empire, this MAGA country, ties a noose around your neck and pours bleach on you?
A great acting job, Jussie. Way to go. You might win an Emmy.
You know, look,
he was believable because when I watched that interview, I thought, uh-oh, maybe I'm wrong with my instincts, but my intuition is never wrong.
Well, here's the thing. I have actually been on national television for 30 seconds. I was on a Dateline NBC report once on the Sean Gayle's pregnant girlfriend's
murder.
Oh,
yeah.
I was on Dateline NBC for 30 seconds, and I can't tell you how nervous I was about that. This guy...
22 minutes.
He
sat there and lied to her for 20 minutes.
I mean, that's really, really good to do that. Now, Robin Roberts, of course, is a skank because she didn't scrutinize him. She didn't ask any questions.
She did ask questions.
No, not really. As a matter of fact, they're trying to justify it now by saying that was a celebrity interview. That wasn't a real news interview.
Oh, so they're admitting that they treat celebrities different.
Well, she didn't. I mean,
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Dawn, who joins us from beautiful Arlington Heights. Good morning, Dawn.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's
up? I can't believe that he had approximately 20 detectives on his case. I can't even get one. I had order protection, and then I went on to exclusive possession of the property. And I have a video of the ex on the property for almost an hour. And the Arlington Heights police talked with the state's attorney. I can't get one detective on it. We do go to court at the end of the month, and he's going to get a local ordinance criminal trespass, but that's it.
All right. Well, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Well, I had an order of protection.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck to you, Dawn.
And I want you please call in with your personal stories regarding lack of detective help when everything is being deployed
She's in Arlington Heights. We're talking about Chicago.
It's all the same to the national media. Arlington Heights, Chicago, Harvey. It's all the same.
Mike joins us from the South Side. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am 100% positive that Kim Fox is a windsock who only looks out for Kim Fox. And there's no way she's going to charge anyone in this unless there's enough blustering from Jussie Smollett's contemporaries.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Well, we do have some, you know, the LGBTQ people are now upset, so she may have to do this. And by the way, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she favors windsock power, doesn't she? I think so. Thanks,
Mike, for the phone call. Let's go to our good friend, Candace, formerly of DuPage. She now lives in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning, Bruce and Amy. Okay, I saw pictures on Twitter of this guy with every DNC up-to-date, current, you know, political.
Oh, with President Obama, I saw those pictures.
Well, I mean, Kamala Harris and Maxine. So this guy's very active in the DNC thing. So in my opinion, this was coordinated just like, and Amy, I have to say, I love you, but you do sometimes have some bad judgment. Like, Charlottesville, to me, was a planned hit on the president. I'm sorry. I believe there's no way.
Anyway, let's stick to this case.
Anyway, so what I'm saying is this, too, in my opinion, was a planned hit.
On whom?
You know, and the fact that there's 20 cops, it just shows something is political about this.
Wait a minute, I don't understand.
He made it a gay issue, he made it a race issue, and he made it a political issue when he threw in the MAGA.
They are involved, and so they have to save face, you see? And so, no, he's not going to jail, in my opinion. And also, I bet you anything, his lawyer is like a Perkins Coie, like somebody. You know what I mean?
Here's a good point. Candace, there is this possibility. I mean, some people have brought this up. You know, there's this legislation that was going to protect black people, but the lesbian gay community wanted to be attached to the whole thing.
Oh,
and Jussie is the guy who...
Because of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy who brought it forward, and now it's going through no matter what, so even though, you know, it was a hoax. His was a hoax. I forgot what the legislation is exactly, but it's...
Robin Robinson talk about that?
Roberts. Don't confuse Robin Robinson with Robin Roberts or... Yeah.
Thanks, Candace, for the phone call.
Thanks.
And also, too, I mean, the people, the creators of Empire, they need to save face. They have to write him off the show immediately. They cannot keep him on as a cast member. This is an open and shut case because those two Nigerian brothers sang like canaries in the last hour before they were going to face aggravated battery and hate crime charges.
There's one possibility.
Yes.
Is it possible? I know it's a remote possibility.
No, just say it.
That these guys attacked him, but that he didn't realize that those were the guys.
Have you seen these two men? These are manly men. These guys can probably bench 300 pounds. I mean, these guys are ripped.
Yes.
They have an 8-pack, not a 6-pack.
But they were wearing coats. It was 4 below zero.
If they touched him like that, his head would fall off. I mean, I'm not kidding you. These guys are huge. If they really hit him.
And they didn't even take a Subway sandwich from him.
Right, because after the attack, he walked in.
He punched him back.
After the attack, he walked in with his tuna Subway sandwich in his right hand, and it's on surveillance video. He said hi to the guard at the front, walked into the elevator.
Let me ask you this. How do you punch back somebody if you've got your tuna sandwich in one hand and your cell phone in your other hand?
What did he say?
You have a third arm?
They got into a tiff. They got into a little scuffle.
Kerfuffle.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey .pro answer line. Let's go to Steve, who joins us from Niles. Good morning, Steve.
This is Clouseau. As a preponderance of the evidence, we find the man is a liar. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Inspector Clouseau. Yes.
Wow. Candace brought up politicians, Maxine Waters. I mean, they all ran to each other. Like, they were falling over themselves to see who could tweet first. Condolences and positive thoughts for Jussie Smollett. Maxine Waters took it a little step further.
I know Jussie. I love him. He's a family is a friend of mine. I know his sisters. I met his mom. And I called already to Jazz, one of the sisters, to talk to her about what's happening, what's going on. So she said he's okay. He's out of the hospital. And, you know, we didn't talk about it much more than that. But I was on my way to Chicago to see about him. You know what I'm saying?
She never made it.
He's a fantastic human being.
He's fantastic.
He's so giving.
Oh, he
shows up at all the community events. You know, he does a lot working with the community. But he comes from that kind of family.
Oh.
And so I'm pleased that he's doing okay. But...
Right.
We have to understand...
Of course.
This is happening for a reason. Why all of a sudden... Do we have people unable to study while black, unable to mow a lawn while black, unable to have a picnic while black, and being attacked?
They can't multitask?
It's coming
from
the president of the United States.
There you go.
Well, you know Ellen Page? Remember Ellen Page?
Yeah.
So she blamed Mike Pence for all this. I'll always be grateful to Ellen Page because she played Juno. Do you remember the movie Juno?
Yeah, I remember Juno.
Which basically is the best pro-life movie I've ever seen, if there's even a... you know, genre of that, and she's going to pave the way for Amy Coney Barrett. So it's okay that she blamed Mike Pence for what happened to Jussie Smollett.
Wow.
I'm okay.
That just
I'm okay.
Went, I have
I
no idea.
Got to take the good with the bad. That's what I'm saying.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
This is the music to Empire, right?
No.
Oh.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636. Was it a hate crime or a hoax? with the Jussie Smollett case, again, to reset the table. He apparently paid two Nigerian brothers who live in Lakeview, went to Lakeview High School, $3,500 to stage the attack, promising to pay them another $500 down the road, because I guess he didn't have all of the money. The brothers went and bought a clothesline from the Crafty Beaver store in Lawrence. They practiced. They rehearsed this one time before.
Was this $3,500 plus expenses? Like how much is it cost?
$3,500.
Well, the rope at a Crafty Beaver. I mean, you go to a home.
It's $3.99.
But it's a markup of at least 40%.
Anyway, so apparently they rehearsed this. One of the brothers put the noose around his neck and sprayed a little bit of bleach on his side, while the other person had a red hat that they got from a beauty shop in Uptown, you know, on Broadway there near Lawrence.
Sure, I've been there many times. I have
my
nails
done. Didn't say mag on it, but he's the one who yelled the racial slur. So apparently he was on the phone with his manager, so his manager could hear the people yelling the racial slurs.
So they could corroborate that with the manager. So the manager's part of it, too.
Well, no, because the manager just picked up the phone.
Oh, I see.
But here's the problem. We don't have the surveillance video, because I do not believe the attack happened where they said the attack happened. If they did, we would have surveillance video.
Well, no, there's a 60-second window where
he's on camera and he's back
off. Like I said, I had hoped.
But do you know how this all came down? Do you know why they were nabbed? Because of Uber. Because there was one ride from that area that night at that time, and it was they tracked the Uber ride to their address in Wrigleyville.
Oh, my God. These guys
Uber.
Did not
plan
this
out.
Should
take a taxi or have your buddy pick you up? I'm glad criminals are stupid. Let's go to Greg, who joins us from Jefferson Park. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Nice to hear you again, Bruce.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what I think we had to do with these guys? You know how these we could take care of these Nigerian guys? We need to have a pay-per-view cage match so Jussie Smollett could show us what a tough guy he is with respect to, you know, taking care of these two guys when they were, you know, taking care of him. You know, it could be $5 a person. I'm sure we could get a few million people to do it, and half the money can go to the winner.
Hey, I fell for the Tiger and Phil match for 1999. I'd fall for this one, too.
Hey, Greg, when did you know that this was not what it seemed to be?
You know what? The first time I heard it, when I saw the pictures of the guy, and I knew it was like the wind chill was like 20 below zero. I'm like, who the hell's going to stand out in 20 below zero weather? You know,
doesn't bleach freeze at like 19 below?
No, it's not that. I knew that because of the weather. you do not commit crimes when it's minus 23 wind chill.
It's against
and
the
also
law.
Too the MAGA comment. I'm like, no, the MAGA comment is what ruined it.
Yeah,
and remember,
right.
The first time police interviewed him, he never brought it up. It was during the second interview that he said, oh, yeah, and by the way,
they said
this is MAGA country.
Yeah, and
Please.
Didn't he tell it to TMZ first? Before?
Yes,
exactly. Right, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, this is a publicity.
Well, it's a developing story, literally.
Who tanked their career faster, Kathy Griffin or Jussie Smollett?
Did you see the tweet? I forgot whose tweet it was. Kathy Griffin says, you know, nobody can tank her career faster than I can. And Jussie Smollett says, hold my bleach.
Well, he should have to pay
Hold
back.
My bleach.
He should pay back all of the overtime. He should pay back all of their 20 detective salary, their salaries.
Where's
for
he going to make the dough? He doesn't have a career anymore.
And he should
they
check
should
himself
allow him
into,
to allow him to be an actor.
He should
again.
Check himself. Into
let
something.
Him host the Academy Awards.
You want? Oh yeah, the Oscars.
Yeah. The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning. Happy President's Day. Bruce Wolf here filling in for me as I fill in for Dan Proft. And you're going to be here for the entire week.
I like the order of succession right
now. Yes, yes.
Who's the designated survivor here? Mike Scott, I assume.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I even hate to talk about it, but it has happened again, another workplace shooting. Five people killed at the Henry Pratt warehouse in Aurora. We'll go over it because we need to talk about it because could it have been prevented? You have a man, 45-year-old Gary Martin, 15-year veteran of the company. He'd been called in for a disciplinary meeting.
I thought it was a termination meeting.
Well, he wasn't sure. He had a feeling he was going to get fired. That's what a coworker said. So he armed up, apparently sensing he was going to be terminated. He had an illegal handgun, a Smith & Wesson, with a laser beam attached to it and many rounds of ammo. And as soon as they told him he was fired, he began shooting at the people in the room.
It was within those first 5 minutes that everyone was struck by gunfire.
We'll get into the victims and who they were, because it's just heartbreaking.
You do have the reason that it was an illegal gun. He'd had a prior felony. This is another one that just falls through the cracks of our bureaucratic system.
Well, Martin ran out of the office. He shot more people before hiding in the warehouse for about 90 minutes. He hid in the back corner. And this warehouse is huge, 29,000 square feet. This is a big place. And police ran toward the gunfire.
He was in a back machine shop at the very back corner of the building, farthest from the area that we made entry into the building. He was probably waiting for us to get to him there, is the way it appeared. And there were some shots exchanged as the officers.
And the officers fatally struck him, but not before he shot five police officers. So they tried to, after he shot the people in the meeting, then he shot a forklift operator. Then police were running in. He fired off shots while they're entering the building, Bruce, and then he ran and he hid for 90 minutes. It was just awful what had happened, but the question is, could it have been prevented? As we mentioned, there's a number of things here. Should there always be a police officer, an armed police officer in a room when you know somebody's going to be terminated?
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
you know how expensive that would be?
Or
why don't we just make sure that everybody has a
warehouse
gun? Everybody has a gun on them.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Those police officers who ran in are heroic.
Thank you for your selfless act. Thank you for running towards gunfire and putting your lives in danger to protect those inside the business. My heart goes out to the victims and their families who simply went to work today like any other day. We offer our sincere condolences, and as the facts of this tragedy unfold, we will provide information and attempt to make sense of it.
So John Lott, our friend, you know, pro-gun,
yes,
pro-Second Amendment guy, who studied all this, he tweeted out, of course, a picture of the front door of the place, which has one of those no firearms logos on it.
Yes. Gary Martin, six times. He had six arrests. One was a felony conviction in 1995 back in Mississippi for stabbing his then-girlfriend. It was a domestic. And he was still able to get a FOID card. They finally, when they did a backup check, they discovered that, you know, they took his FOID card away in 2014. But prior to that, he had purchased that Smith & Wesson at a local gun shop. I don't know the name of the gun store, but I'm sure we'll find out soon.
So there's a couple of ways that this was balanced.
How he got hired in the first place?
Well, as far as the guns go, that, you know, that he gets the FOID card, and then that they don't make sure that he doesn't have a weapon. And, you know, everybody wants the draconian solution, which is, you know, let's ban the Second Amendment. Let's confiscate everyone's weapons. Because, you know, the government, which screwed this up, is really going to do the job well when they take away all our guns.
Well, if they take away your FOID card, can't they send somebody from Illinois State Police to your house to make sure that you've also given up your gun? I mean, that just seems to make sense. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. The CEO of this warehouse or of this company admits that they made a mistake. Listen closely.
I can say that if we have reason to believe somebody is going to be violent, we take precautions. I can only assume that we did not.
They did not.
Well, did you read the interview? I mean, this is heartbreaking. With the father of the union steward who was shot and killed. Basically, the union guy was the guy who went to bat for this Martin guy, went to bat for him.
Was he the human resources director?
No, the union steward. And so they interviewed the father of the union steward, and the father was saying, oh, yeah, this Martin was a good guy, he was misunderstood and everything. His own son was killed. And he's talking about, oh, yeah, he was misunderstood. And I mean, it's almost like no good deed goes unpunished.
Among the dead, Clayton Parks of Elgin, Illinois, 32 years old, father.
Yep.
I had an infant son.
Yep.
And a human resources manager. He's been there since 2018. Graduate of Northern Illinois University. Trevor Wainer of DeKalb, Illinois, 21 years old. Intern, first day on the job.
It's just devastating and senseless. Trevor always had a smile on his face, always an adorable young man, kind-hearted, always willing to give a hug when needed.
And that makes me so mad. He's young, has a whole life ahead of him, and they put him in that position where they're firing somebody who's volatile, who's had disciplinary problems in the past, and they don't protect anybody in that room.
You know what the answer is, of course, is universal background checks between private owners. Of course, it isn't the answer, but it's always the solution that people come up with.
Vincent Juarez of Oswego, Illinois. Juarez, 55 years old, stockroom attendant, forklift operator. He'd been there for decades, married, 3 children, and 8 grandchildren.
I left. I called my dad. He wouldn't answer. I called my dad. I went to the emergency room asking them, do you guys have my dad? He's never going to come home. Never.
Also killed Russell Bayer. He was a mold operator, employee of
Henry Pratt for more than 20 years. I think he's the union steward, if I'm not
mistaken. Then you have Josh Pinkert of Oswego, Illinois, a native of Alabama. He was with the plant and joined him as a manager in 2018. He was also in the meeting room with the gunman. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey DEPRO answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Or also, too, what about firing people via email? If you know that they might go off and scream. Well, I've been in newsrooms where people have been fired, and it's not pretty. And it doesn't matter if it's a newsroom or a warehouse.
When people get fired,
that's some scary times. You got to duck. I mean, honestly, I have nightmare stories from people who get fired who come out and flip over a desk or run around and scream. You know, I even saw a fist fight at WJBK in Detroit. They ripped shirts. They came out with ripped shirts.
All I did was file a grievance and win all my money back from that damn Fox. Excuse me.
Still bitter, are you?
Not really.
No.
No, I went on to get fired by Channel 5 after that and WLS Radio.
Well, did you have temper tantrums? Did you threaten violence?
I keyed a car. Okay. That's why I got fired. But I did it as a shtick.
Oh.
Because it was there, like Mount Everest was to Sir Edmund Hillary.
But there's, you know, always is a question about firearms. Something obviously slipped through the cracks.
He reported for work, and during this meeting, he was terminated. And my understanding...
That's a wrong soundbite.
Is there an issue to address as it relates to access to guns?
That's part of what we're going to determine as part of our investigation is how he had that firearm.
And again, all we know is that he purchased the firearm.
It was illegal for him to have a gun.
It was, but he purchased it legally in 2014, and then after that,
they didn't do a background check.
It was his illegal. Card
it was
taken
illegal.
Away.
He had a felony conviction. It was illegal for him to purchase a gun. Absolutely, I think.
No, he should not.
He had a felony, and he wasn't supposed to get it. So, you know, those of you who think, oh, we got to do something, we got to have universal background checks, or we got to, you know, abolish the Second Amendment. That's your government at work on a small scale with regard to this guy. Imagine writ large when they try to take away everybody's guns, how well that's going to work out.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. Of course, we're talking about the Aurora workplace shooting. 5 people died, 5 police officers shot. None of them, their injuries are serious. And they postponed the press conference because I, like you, we're watching this on Friday night. And they postponed it to wait for J.B. Pritzker, the governor, to arrive. Mm-hmm. Really?
This morning, I stood with 1,500 community members in Chicago who are fighting the epidemic of gun violence that continues to ravage so many communities. These are everyday citizens who have been called to action by the loss of a loved one, by witness of violence in their communities, or by the simple desire for change. To the families of the victims here in Aurora, there are no words that I can offer to lessen the pain. But know that our state grieves with you, that MK and I and our family grieves with you.
And, you know, hey, I voted for Jeannie Ives in the primary, and then I think I wrote in Dan's name in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a make good for not having voted for him in 2010 when I didn't know who he was. But
he brought in gun control right away.
But, you know, kind of. But at the end, he said, may their memory be a blessing. which is a Jewish invocation. So I got a little pride, you know, that he said that. It was sweet. Yeah, he kind of, in a sub silentio way, brought in the whole gun control thing. But you know, it's good to have.
Our text line is blowing up. One person, I was fired, Amy and Bruce, via a conference call. Okay. Wonder what kind of why.
I like an envelope under
the desk,
under your hotel room door, like Billy Ray got from the Wurtzes on Christmas.
Somebody else wrote, "How about taking down that no gun sign and let everyone carry?" Another one, Amy, laser sights are not illegal. I didn't say they were illegal. I just said that he had a 9mm Smith & Wesson with a laser beam on top. Let's go to Chip, who joins us from St. Charles. Let me press that button there. Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, 17% of murders in Chicago are solved. You know, it's not like the government is spread thin already, and then you're going to expect the state police to go out and everybody who doesn't, you know, renew their FOID or you know, to track down guns. I know. Let's make the state of Illinois a sanctuary state and have a bunch of illegals in here that we can't track down either.
Wait, Chip, I've got an
we've
idea.
We've done this to ourselves.
Chip, I've got an idea, which you've triggered here. Pardon that. Why don't we do as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez suggests and take the money that would have been used for Amazon, take that $3 billion and use it to really check out those FOID violations. How about that?
Hey, you know what? That's just crazy. And the reason why that's crazy is because the state's already like $50 billion in debt. We can't pay our bills as it is. We can't raise taxes enough to even come close to pay the bills. And I know, let's pass a bunch more gun laws that we couldn't enforce even if we wanted to.
Right.
Well, yeah, clearly. I mean, thanks.
Thank you
so much for the call. But, I mean, you look at his background. No stranger to police in Aurora.
Yeah.
He's pulled over 6 separate times for various crimes. But the big one is the felony conviction in 1995.
He wasn't supposed to have a gun.
I know. But if they take away your FOID card, is it too intrusive if someone comes to your house then to take away your weapon? The FOID card, it's just a piece of paper. Okay, you want the metal. You want the weapon. If somebody has a violent past, that gun needs to be taken away, and that did not happen. I wonder if they're going to sue the gun store where he bought the weapon. Do you think
I'm sure the gun store abided by whatever laws there were. I mean, if they didn't, they didn't.
They didn't fingerprint him. That's what I'm hearing.
Is that the law?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of a background check.
If they didn't do it,
And then what about the company? Henry Pratt.
What's their culpability? Did they not do a good enough background check on the guy?
Mike, you were mentioning earlier, let's bring Mike Scott into the conversation, that did they do a background check on him before hiring him?
They did do a background check. The latest information into the newsroom is that the background check that Henry Pratt did not catch the 1995 felony conviction.
So what the heck good is it to have a
FOID
card?
So he bought the weapon in, they said, a local gun shop in 2014. And then later his FOID card was revoked, correct? But did the gun shop, did they do a proper background check? Obviously not.
I do not have that exact information. But the background check, once it was run a second time, the second check of Gary Martin did prompt the letter.
Okay.
Prompted the letter stating his gun permit had been revoked and ordering him to turn over the firearm to police.
And nobody followed up on that.
And no one, to the best of our information, no one followed up on that.
Yeah, let's try to enforce the laws that are already on the book. Coming up on Chicago's Morning Answer, guess what? You know what's coming up?
The day after President's Day?
What's 1 week from tomorrow?
Valentine's Day?
No, we've already had Valentine's Day.
The Ides of March?
No.
February 29th, it's leap year.
Our mayoral and aldermanic elections.
That's right, because we have our elections in February to depress the turnout. Because Democrats, unlike the Republicans who are always accused of doing that, thank you, Austin Berg, for this idea. The Democrats want to make sure the incumbents stay in, and they don't want people to come out to vote on a cold day in February that made me shiver with every bright one I deliver.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
PTSD!
On AM 560.
I'll have what she's having.
The Answer.
We're getting down to the wire here on our mayoral and aldermanic elections. 1 week from tomorrow is Election Day.
You know,
it's gone by so fast.
Hi, I'm Bruce Wolf.
Hi, Bruce.
For Amy, who's in for Dan Proft. Today's President's Day. I think it's easier for me to name all the presidents in order than name all the mayoral
14,
candidates.
There's 14. Can you
name? Is Lara America First Daily running again? Is
no.
Richard Friedman running?
No, he's
okay.
Not.
Is Benjamin Adamowski?
No,
running?
He's
okay. The one who came closest to beating Daley.
Can you name? That's good. Good. Great
you.
History.
Anton Cermak is not running. No.
No. Jane Byrne is not running.
Yeah.
You name five candidates that are running?
Oh, yeah.
All right, go.
Okay. Dopey, Sneezy, Sleazy, Vallis. Okay. I heard Fioretti's commercial. Get
yes.
ready for Fioretti. I just want to suggest this. You know, let's spitballing right here. And the palace. Bring in Vallis. Because it's all the good old boys who run everything all the time. Bring in the outsider, Paul Vallis.
Here is his commercial.
There's nothing Chicago politicians fear more than this broom. I'm Paul Vallis, and I'll sweep out the money that has corrupted City Hall. I'll invest in schools, fighting crime, and creating jobs. I'm running for mayor to sweep out the Chicago machine and to invest in people and not corrupt politicians. I have the experience, the solutions, and the tools to do it.
Join us in cleaning up City Hall for all Chicagoans.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I love
it.
I was at that bar over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
And with that, let's join Paul Vallis, welcome in Paul Vallis, who's joining us again on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, Mr. Vallis. How are you?
Good morning. You know, the scary thing is all those names that that you were mentioning, I remember.
Of yeah. course you do. And that it's a crime that you remember.
Adamowski. I know, that's kind of scary.
I'm trying to remember. Chewy Garcia. I recall him having a shot at it.
Yeah, he had in the runoff election.
Oh, that's an easy. That's
that
an
was
easy
an
memory,
easy one. Yeah.
So recently you took Bill Daley to task about, because he's asserting that he had nothing to do with that parking meter deal. Can you tell us how he was involved in that, Mr. Vallis?
Well, basically, he was chairman of, he was head of J.P. Morgan's Midwest operations at the time of the parking deal. And during his stewardship, J.P. Morgan made a run at the meter deal. J.P. Morgan is currently a participant in the deal. Now, they're claiming that they're just holding the money or investing the money, and they're not realizing any profit. But, you know, J.P. Morgan is an investment bank and a financial services organization. They don't do those things for free. Also, at the same time, both J.P. Morgan and, of course, Morgan Stanley, where his son works, they made a pitch for the Pittsburgh meter deal. Which fortunately for Pittsburgh, they declined to enter into. You know, the irony of this all is brace yourself for this, because we all know how the current pitiful state of our pensions are, in part because Daley's brother went to the legislature, Mayor Daley, and got a pension holiday in 2010 at the peak of the recession so that he didn't have to make payments into any of the city pension systems. Anyway, the Texas Teachers Retirement System is part of the deal. So, you know, Chicagoans are paying for Texas teacher retirees.
How is that possible? How did that happen?
And who knows?
And Mr. Vallis, so you say that, is this true? Bill Daley was paid $15 million over 24 months after the parking meter deal? Not that one is necessarily related to the other, but he was part of J.P. Morgan.
No.
What?
Right. For J.P. Morgan, let me point out that this wasn't his first rodeo, because back in 2001, you remember when I ran for mayor, actually 2001, 2002, and when I ran for governor, I'm sorry, against Rob Bogorovitz, SBC, who at the time Daley was the executive of, donated $200,000 to Rob Bogorovitz's campaign, and it was designed to get legislation passed, which they passed with the speed of light, literally, and it gave SBC a monopoly over the phone industry here, and the courts. Just one more second. The courts ultimately threw out the deal because they thought that the deal was just a bad deal for consumers, and of course, I think Daley pocketed $6 million during his period as head of SBC.
Hey, hey, look, no more on Blagojevich because we don't need more counts added to him. He's spending enough time in jail.
Here's the thing.
You know, I'll see your J.P. Morgan and raise you a Bill Daley doing a deal with Bruce Rauner when I think Daley was the head of AT&T or whatever, and Rauner was doing his thing in the private sector. Rahm gets the vigorish on the deal because we all know that he studied to be an investment banker at ballet school. And Rahm gets like $15 million. This is just all these guys. That's why I say and the palace elect Vallis, because they're just all taking their turns, sashaying in and out of government and business, and they may all make a lot of money. And it's time for the outsider, right?
Well, look at, you know, another example was Chico, for example. Chico abstained from voting. You know, what happens is these guys, you know, there's one way of doing it is they leave government and then they use their connections. In the case of Daley, it's his name. It's certainly not their expertise, because what did they invent? Look, Daley will still not release his tax returns.
Nope.
I mean, if you're running for mayor and you don't release your tax returns, that should immediately disqualify you. And Chico hasn't provided any details on his tax returns, but he abstained from voting 500 times when he was board president. And that's what they do. They get on these boards to kind of be like, let's call them made guys, since they always use this terminology. Remember when, you know, Solis wore the wire, God. They said he betrayed the family or whatever. They use all these refusal terms.
Can we play Layla in the background? Because I think we're going into a Goodfellas moment.
One thing that Gary Chico keeps saying is that he's the one who is responsible for the $1 billion surplus in CPS. And that's all you, correct?
Well, you know, he was on the board.
He was president.
One of five board members, and they met once a month. Incidentally, that didn't keep him from having a driver and being driven back and forth, or having a floor with an office and a shower. But that's what they do. I mean, and it's interesting on the Fox debate, because while they were beating up on Toni Preckwinkle and attacking her on ethics, I just had to step up and say, you know, Gary, you abstained 500 times. And of course, he corrected me and told me that he only abstained 400 times.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah, so I stand corrected. I'll admit that I made a mistake.
Hey, congratulations on getting to be part of the Fox debate. I think we have John Cass to thank for that, don't we? Because they weren't even gonna let you be on there because you didn't have enough commercials, I guess. So you know, this is a crowded
well,
field.
Well, and then Bill Daley,
he didn't even show up.
Show
well, the
up.
Plumbers Union supported him, and he didn't want to face the heat. He's a smart guy. He didn't want to face the heat. Why should he?
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to be on primetime, and so he got to sit at the Lori Lightfoot and I referred to it as the kiddie table. So you know, he got to do the mini debate, and that's not to discourage
right.
people who participated, because I was going to be at the kiddie table.
Right, you
too,
were. You got to the adult
out.
Table. Yeah, right.
I got the adult table. Yeah.
All right. So what's the push for this next week and one day?
Well, really, the push is to continue to go to every forum. And of course, you know, I'm trying to reach people digitally through my platform, and I've done it very aggressively. And, you know, I've done what I did, 34 forums. In fact, I did six more forums or community meetings just this weekend alone. Daley showed up at none of them. Chico showed up at none of them. And so, you know, I think their approach is still to run Rose Garden campaigns and hope that their commercials will get them over the top. But Daley has spent like $2 million on commercials. Now, of course, Ken Griffin has given him another $2 million. It could have been $200 million. $2 million. Not that that's going to help him. And I think he's moved 1 or 2 percentage points in the poll. So I think the public's going to, as it gets closer to the election, and as my point of evidence, only 28,000 people have voted early. So people haven't decided yet. And I'm hoping as it gets closer to the election, people are going to ask themselves, well, who's really offered solutions? Who has the experience? Who's really independent of this pay-to-play culture? And you know, it's not all TV commercials now. People communicate in so many different ways on their cell phones, over the internet, through Facebook, through there's just other avenues that people are getting their information.
And I'm a basketball coach, and I say, if you want your daughter to play, you have to promise me that you'll vote for Paul Vallis.
Sure. I get it. It's pay to play.
There you go.
There you go.
But
now,
we'll find that.
Now here's
No.
Here's the thing. You're on radio. You're on radio right now, in case you didn't know it. Because I know there's all different. You're on so many different media right now. And this tends to be a conservative station. And our friend Statehouse Chick is her Twitter moniker.
Kristen McQuarrie.
Yeah. Had a column, I think it was last week, appealing to the conservatives among the
Moderate Republicans.
Among the 45 candidates. Oh, wait a minute. That's the presidents. That's the number of presidents. But among the 14 candidates, who is the most conservative? Who is, you know, the most likely to win? Is going to get has some conservative principles. And there are a number of people, even Willie Wilson, whatever, who can appeal. Give us your pitch. That why should we come out and vote for you? Of course, I'm not eligible because I haven't lived in Chicago since 1958. But go ahead.
Well, I think three reasons. The first reason is no one has the skills to manage multi-billion dollar budget crises than me. I've done it four times in four different states and their four largest school districts. And, of course, I've done work internationally, number one. I mean, I've balanced 17 multi-billion dollar budgets. And I've laid out a very detailed plan on how to do it and how to address the pension funding issues while capping property taxes. Secondly, I don't think there's anybody running today who has demonstrated the skills to turn budgets into investment vehicles. And because the school districts, Chicago Public Schools grew by 30,000, they have 70,000 more students today because I spent money in ways that grew the district. And third, I don't think there's anybody out there who's demonstrated greater independence from the pay-to-play culture. I not only ran against Rob Agorovich, but when I was at the Chicago Public Schools, I pulled all the contracts out of the Public Building Commission so I could bid them free of political influence. And then, you know, pay-to-play candidates don't go to New Orleans to rebuild an entire city school system after Hurricane Katrina. And, of course, they don't go to places like Haiti and Chile after devastating earthquakes. So I think those skills, the skills to manage us out of this financial crisis while capping taxes, the ability to really invest in the city as a whole, because if the city doesn't grow, we're going to continue to struggle. Our problem is the city's not growing. It's contracting. And then third, independence of the pay-to-play culture, knowing how to clean it up.
And also, I mean, 135,000 Chicagoans voted for Trump in 2016, and a lot of candidates have taken, excuse me, the Republican vote for granted. I mean, Tony Preckwinkle will not come on the show. Susana Mendoza won't. Joyce won't. And Bill Daley won't. And it says
Paul
a lot
Ellis
that you've
won't.
Been on here repeatedly, and you're always open to talk. Even if we talk about Haiti or whatever the topic is, you're not fearful of Republicans, and you don't alienate us. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, except Bruce. Except Bruce.
Right, right. Right. You should be nervous about me, and I'll tell you why. Because
he doesn't live in the city.
I got the gotcha question right now. Because, you know all the former candidates against the Dailies. Yeah, you know that. But today's President's Day. So who was the 18th president of the United States, Paul
Valls? Oh, God, I don't know.
Who was the 18th president of the United States?
I don't remember. Sorry.
Oh, come on, you know your U.S. history? I mean, you consider yourself a statesman? I mean, Google it right now, man, if you know how to Google, even.
Why don't you just tell us? Just tell us.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Thank you.
There we go.
Now everything's
now
fine
you know,
in the world.
The more you know, candidate Vallis.
Paul Vallis, where can we go to get more information about your campaign and donate?
Please check. Go to VallisForAllChicago.com. VallisForAllChicago.com. It lays out my position on all the issues in great detail.
Good.
And it also shows you. It also can navigate you insofar as how to contribute.
Okay. VallisForAllChicago.com. Paul Vallis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And good luck a week from Tuesday.
Thanks for having me.
And
bye-bye.
Thanks. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Bruce Wolf in the His Oss. What time did you get to work today?
Not till about
the roads were pretty bad.
Not
till
about 4:30, and you know, usually I'm here at about 2 in the morning.
Exactly.
But I had to hitch a ride with an Amish horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure.
Because you can't drive in this weather?
No.
I can't see you right now.
I can't either.
I see the top of your head, and you look like Joni Ernst hairdo there.
Thank you so much. I consider that a compliment.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
ding 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 ding. Oh boy, Bruce Wolf filling in this week for Dan Proft, Amy Jacobson here. Did you have a lovely weekend, Bruce? Did you have a nice weekend?
Watched golf all day yesterday.
Oh yeah, who won?
JB, forgot his name. It wasn't a big tournament.
JB forgot his name. He's such a great golfer.
Yeah. Well, he beat Jason Jordan somebody. Yeah. So none of them was named Tiger. See, they got a name that I'm getting old right now.
One word.
I need animals like the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods. You know, I used to call myself Tiger Wolf on the golf course.
I see what you did there. Right. Taking your phone calls this morning, 312-642-5600. When will Jussie Smollett be arrested?
And is that how you pronounce his name?
Why are we waiting for him to come in with his attorney? I think that at this point in time, they should just grab him and take him in and charge him. Why? Well, over the weekend, some huge developments. We had those two Nigerian brothers who were being held since Wednesday. They got back from Nigeria on Wednesday and then were taken to 51st and Wentworth. Were being questioned for 48 hours. That's a maximum they can hold them. And they let them go because in the last hour when they said, we are going to charge you with aggravated battery and hate crimes, then they started singing. And what they said was just magnificent. Jussie Smollett paid them $3,500 with another $500 to be paid at a later date to stage this attack.
According to allegedly, presumably, because, I mean, you don't.
No, no.
Has the Chicago police said that they said this?
I talked to my source.
Oh, so it's according to your sources.
CBS 2 is reporting this now. Okay, ABC 7 is.
Just
got to
be careful. Got to be careful because, you know, a lot of us believed the accusations based on sources before. So we got to be careful.
So what he did, these two brothers who live in Lakeview, they bought a rope, a clothesline at the Crafty Beaver on Lawrence, and then they practiced. See, these three were friends because they all worked on Empire. They were extras, the other two guys, and they were bodybuilders. So Jussie Smollett worked out with them at their gym. He was training them, or he was being trained by them because there's this music video coming up.
Well, no, he had to be trained in case he was attacked by someone.
No, because he wants to, you know, get the muscle mass on, Bruce. And he came up with this ruse to be punched down, to put a rope around your neck. Mm-hmm. And so this is what they did. They bought the rope. They bought the red hat, which is a stocking cap, essentially, on North Broadway.
Because they couldn't find a MAGA cap in the entire Tri-County area.
Well, it was red. So this is Abel, the one brother, held him around the neck with the noose and splashed some bleach on him, while the other brother, who had the red hat on, yelled racial slurs at him, calling him that F word. You know, it was
Can I ask you a question? Why did they do this if they didn't do it on surveillance camera? See, if I were Jussie Smollett, I would want my money back from these guys because they could have orchestrated it. As somebody said, Jussie Smollett may be a great actor, but he's a terrible director and writer. Because you got to have it on the surveillance camera to show that you're attacked. Who cares that you actually go through the charade of the attack?
So during that time before they came, it took them about maybe a half hour. Who the would make something like this up or add something to it or whatever it may be? I can't even, I'm an advocate.
Oh, he's so defiant, but here he is explaining exactly what happened, which is all a lie.
As I was crossing the intersection, I heard Empire. And I don't answer to Empire. My name ain't Empire. And I didn't answer. I kept walking, and then I heard Empire. So I turned around and I said, did you just say to me? And I see the attacker masked. And he said, this MAGA country punches me right in the face. So I punched his back. And then we started tussling. You know, it was very icy. And we ended up tussling by the stairs.
Tussling.
Fighting. There was a second person involved who was kicking me in my back.
You're messing up each other's
and then it just stopped.
I'd like a Venn diagram.
And they ran off.
Yeah, right.
A Venn diagram of the people in the world who fight off two attackers with the people who describe such an attack as a tussle. So I'm just wondering about that.
So the Nigerian brothers, Abel and Ola.
And Cain.
Came back from Nigeria and hired an attorney, and this is, her name is Gloria Schmidt.
Did Jussie Smollett set this up?
You know, there's still a lot of moving parts to this, so I am here for my clients, and I had a job to do specifically for them, so I'm not part of Jussie's defense.
Yeah, and what she told her clients was, roll on Jussie, they got the goods on you. Okay,
but you imagine,
we're rolling.
It took them 48 hours to get the truth out of them.
Were they waterboarded?
They were holding them strong. Well, I don't think
they bleach boarded them.
But here's the thing. Smollett is doubling down on his story. He's saying that these two Nigerian brothers are lying. This is what his attorney released, his statement. As a victim of a hate crime who has cooperated with police investigators, Jussie Smollett is angered and devastated by recent reports that the perpetrators are individuals he's familiar with. He has now been further victimized by claims attributed to these alleged perpetrators.
I couldn't agree more. Here, look.
Played a role in his own attack.
You've got the bleach. You've got the rope.
Well,
but it still could be Colonel Mustard and Professor Plum, not these two guys. Now, here's the problem. Those guys are, Jussie says that those are the guys in the that were in the area, right? I mean, they're in the area.
They are in
and
the
he
area.
Knows them.
Yes,
you don't know your attackers.
Right. Well, so this whole thing started January 22nd when he received a threatening letter with white powder in it at the studio. And it said, you gay blank blank, you're going to die. And it was with cutout from a magazine. So they did take magazines from the Nigerian brothers' apartments. They took a bottle of bleach too, a mask, and also that other rope.
I think it started about 35 years ago when he became a sociopath. But go ahead.
And they determined that white powder was sugar. And then the alleged attack happened January 29th. Senator Cory Booker on the Senate floor just last Thursday.
2 weeks ago, an actor, an activist, was brutally attacked in Chicago. Two men yelling racial and homophobic epithets.
You
and
know,
he tried to walk that back last night.
Well, the information is still coming out. I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out from on-the-record sources. I'm following this in the news as you are, and we'll see what happens.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey DEPRO answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick text. Because I want him. I'm so upset because he made this a gay issue. He made this a racial issue, and he made it a political issue.
And Fox
he made
TV
Chicago
issue.
Look. He made Chicago look bad. I mean, people from around the world. I mean, I have relatives in Sweden asking me about this. People in Ireland asking me about this.
They still think we're the town that has Michael Jordan and that won't let you down. Here's the problem. I don't mind when sleazy politicians like Cory Booker do this, but here's what the New York Times tweeted on January 29th. Jussie Smollett, one of the stars of the television show Empire, was attacked in Chicago by two assailants who yelled racial and homophobic slurs. Not allegedly attacked, not that he says he was attacked, but they reported as fact that he was attacked. And that's a fact, Jack. That's bad journalism, New York Times.
Let's go to Bob, who joins us from Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Amy, and hello to you, Bruce.
Hello.
You guys beat me. That was the question I wanted to hear. When is the media going to recant? And a lot of the political leaders, just like Cory Booker, and there's probably at least a half a dozen, if not more, going to take back what they said. They jumped to conclusion again.
I haven't watched Good Morning America this morning, but I was hoping yesterday, considering that Robin Roberts, the Good Morning America hostess with the leastest, had done this, you know, lay down interview with Jussie Smollett, that yesterday as a make good, George Stephanopoulos was just going to apologize on this week.
No, I mean, they've got egg on their face too. Why would you even interview him if there was a chance that this was an allegation,
because
this was not true, because they don't have any video. There is no video of an attack taking place.
Because it fits their agenda, because you know the press.
One group that's coming forward is civil rights activists in Los Angeles who originally supported Jussie Smollett is now saying that he should be arrested ASAP.
We have many members of the black community and the LGBT community who have been the victims of racism and hate crimes. So for Smollett to say that he was a victim of racism and hate crime, and we believe that is a lie, certainly is an injustice to those true victims of racism and hate crimes.
And a point of contention that I have is that they threw 20 detectives on this. 20. Do you know what a waste of resources that is? That's taken away from real crimes and real victims out there.
Chicago's got a shortage of detectives.
And also, yeah, because if you get murdered, you'll get six at the beginning, but then you'll dwindle down to one or two, depending on if it's high profile or not. And he did this to himself. And I'm sure those brothers, I mean, I want to know what went down. Like, so they had they rehearsed it. And the guy with the red MAGA hat's the one that yelled the racial slurs so that he was on his phone with his manager so his manager could corroborate that he was allegedly attacked. I'm sure it didn't even happen outside because it was probably too cold for them.
Well, here's the thing. It's already gotten to the point where we are being criticized for doing a victory lap on this, conservatives.
We're not.
Oh, yeah, no, there's like SG
Cup. I feel sick to my stomach
CNN,
about it.
Saying like, oh, no, they're disproportionately laughing over this whole thing. You're not allowed schadenfreude if you're a conservative. You can't say, ha, ha, this was all made up.
I'm not
you can't
saying,
do
I know,
that.
But I'm not.
I am.
I'm not. I mean, what? And then also, too, to embarrass Chicago police like that, to think that he's so, as such an elitist, he thought he wasn't going to get caught. Well, you got caught, Jussie Smollett, and you're going to go to jail.
He's actually
especially
kind of dumb.
If he lied to the FBI, though, which the FBI was investigating the threatening letter that was sent, and if the Nigerian brothers, he paid them, that was part of the $3,500, then that's lying to the FBI. Then he could go to jail.
Well, no, he could go to jail for the false thing. I heard that it was like a 3-year deal. And, you know, our friend, who we've known for years, is handling the damage control for Jussie Smollett and Kavanaugh. Her damage control firm, crisis management firm, is handling this. She represented
Jason Van Dyke.
He could have gotten 90 years. He only got 6 years. So I'm thinking that Jussie will not get the 3 years. He'll probably at most be ordered to read The Federalist for an entire year.
And I went to the Nigerian brother's apartment on Saturday night. And they
why?
Well, I live right there. I've been. They live
less
than a block away. Just to
for?
See if they want to chat. I want to know how they rehearsed it. I wanted to do it again. I like, all right, take two. Now pretend that I'm Jussie.
You have a tendency to go to people's houses that you shouldn't
go
to. I
do. Don't worry. I was wearing proper clothing. Wear.
Yeah, there you go. Hi, yo.
Kevin in Northfield.
It's a little cold for a bikini time.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Great show. I have several comments. First of all, did you guys know that on the cover of one of the website news gathering sources,
Drudge.
The headline says, "The Wolf Who Cried MAGA." So
yes.
My first question would be, Bruce, your whole life, did you have scars, psychological scars?
Yes.
The wolf who cried whatever.
You know, I am the boy who cried Bruce Wolf, and nobody believes me. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Kevin. Let's go to Jim, who joins us from the north side of Chicago. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. If you're going to wait for the major news media to recant, you might wait for a long time, because a large portion of your major news media is every bit as sleazy as the politicians.
Jim, how about
this?
No,
like Rafer Weigel, he was good. He had information out.
Name for Rafer.
No.
Get the gun, Rafer.
Rafer, yeah. That said that he was still carrying his tuna Subway sandwich into his building after he was attacked.
The best thing was to read the tweets of the media, because they'd say things on Twitter that they couldn't say on the air. That's why I get everything from Twitter. That's why I didn't even know till today that you pronounce it Smollett. Because when I heard Mike Scott this morning. But here's the thing. I don't mind that this didn't actually happen, because a lot of times a myth will help out a cause. Matthew Shepard, remember when he was the cause celeb because he was murdered because he was supposedly gay? Well, he was gay.
He was
but
gay.
He was murdered because he was gay?
Yes, he was murdered.
He was not murdered because he was gay. Gay writers have written that it was a drug deal gone bad. But the myth works. Myths work.
Well, I think Jussie Smollett is done, and the creators of Empire and the writers should write him off the show ASAP. Let's go to Sean, who joins us from Elmwood Park, but I do believe he's in Florida. Late night walks, jacuzzis with Dan Proft. Is this correct?
Yeah. Top down, baby. Not like your prom night either. This is a convertible. Listen, here's the thing. This is what happens when you give virtue to strangers and scoundrels. He was a scumbag. I called it on hour one, Amy, and you were all upset.
No, I wasn't, Sean.
Like you were,
Sean, I called
G.I.
this out
Joe.
From the beginning.
Oh, don't give me that bull on G.I. Joe, Sean, because Amy and I were the ones who called G.I. Joe first legitimately.
And
you called in that day when it was still illegitimate to say that G.I. Joe was a suicide. We waited the proper amount of time.
You've been riding my coattails for 10 years, Wolf. Here's another thing. What happened to Roseanne Barr? Are you forgetting the race component here? Why do you think he said MAGA country?
You know what?
Because it fits his narrative.
You know
it's
what?
It's
it reminds me. I think Jussie Smollett is today going to say that he was on Ambien at the time. That's what I think he's going to say. He's going to blame it on Ambien.
He'll have to
Speaking
come up with
Roseanne.
Something. I mean, clearly there's a bit of mental illness going on or sociopath to drum up this
idea.
He's
depraved on a kind of
he's not going to get caught, first of all. And then to throw, I knew it was BS because out on the streets for 18 years, when it's minus 23 wind chill, rarely crimes are committed. But also, too, that area where he said it took place, that is a safe area. There's no drug dealers and homeless people living down there.
Isn't that right near Channel 5?
It's exactly by Channel 5. How many times have you gone from Lizzie McNeil to that parking lot?
I mean, Channel 5. I work for Channel 5. There's nothing but liberals there. I was the only conservative.
Yeah. But also, the MAGA country is what put the nail in the coffin. Sun-Times, just quickly, Chicago Sun-Times is reporting this morning that there is a possibility that he will be going in with his attorneys today to field questions from Chicago police.
You know.
And I say go get him and arrest him.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Let's quickly go to the phone lines. Bill joins us from the northern suburbs. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, the supposed crimes supposedly happened in Chicago. There's an easy solution. 5 minutes in the cage with Sergeant Voigt, and he'll get some answers.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
I'm thinking he should just make it a teachable moment. This is what this crisis management.
Right.
No, say that he's going to pledge all of his earnings, or, you know, like 5% of his earnings, future earnings, to fighting the NRA. It worked for Harvey Weinstein.
Why shouldn't
it work for Jussie Smollett?
There's nothing he could do to salvage his career.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine.
On AM 560.
And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
The Answer.
Friday afternoon, actually Friday morning, President Trump declared a national emergency along our southern border.
I'm going to be signing a national emergency because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people, and it's unacceptable.
And he was a little sing-songy. Did you watch the press conference there, Bruce?
I think I saw the SNL one. Isn't that the same?
Well, he did get a little sing-song as he knows and recognizes the legal hurdles that are ahead.
Emergency, and we will then be sued, and they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there. And we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court. Just like the ban, they sued us in the Ninth Circuit, and we lost, and then we lost in the appellate division.
So it's a great cold open. I love this.
And then we went to the Supreme Court, and we won.
That's funny that you mentioned it, because here was the cold open on Saturday Night Live.
All right.
So I'm basically taking military money so I can has ball. So I'm going to sign these papers for emergency, and then I'll immediately be sued, and the ruling will not go in my favor, and then end up in the Supreme Court, and then I'll call my buddy Kavanaugh, and I'll say it's time to repay the Donnie, and I'll say new phone, who dis?
But in all seriousness, there is some pushback from some Republicans. Marco Rubio's not for it. Suzanne Collins is not for it. Lindsey Graham.
Cucks.
Is all about this. He says this is a national emergency.
Well, the president will have to make a decision where to get the money. Let's just say for a moment that he took some money out of the military construction budget. I would say it's better for the middle school kids in Kentucky to have a secure border. We'll get them the school they need. But right now, we got a national emergency on our hands. Opioid addiction is going through the roof in this country. Thousands of Americans died last year and dying this year because we can't control the flow of drugs into this country, and all of it's coming across the border. Mm. So
through
the dangers presented by a broken border
to Customs and Border Patrol, though.
And President Trump, you know, sent his, you know, flackies out all weekend to say that there is definitely an emergency. Here's Congressman Jordan.
All I know is this is a serious situation. This is a crisis. Look at the drug problem, the human trafficking problem, the gang violence problem. That's why we need the border security wall, and that's what the president is committed to making sure happens.
That was his little answer that he gave when Martha Raddatz, I believe it's Martha Raddatz.
Yes, she
ABC
was filling
News
in for George
week. Well,
Stephanopoulos.
She says, Congressman, can you give me an example where a president asked for something Congress rejected? and the president went ahead and said he would do it anyway, and Jordan didn't have an answer to that because it hasn't really happened. And I liked your portmanteau, your neologism of flackies. A combination of flunky and flack. And I like it, a flacky.
Let's bring into the conversation Emma Dumain. She is correspondent for McClatchy, D.C., excuse me. And good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So, Emma, where do we go from here and how is he going to get the funding? Where is he going getting the money from?
They have underplayed or tried to assuage concerns that getting the money to build the wall would be in any way disruptive to existing allocations for various federal projects around the country. There has been concerns that he would go to the Army Corps of Engineers, which funds water and major infrastructure projects around the country. There's concern that he would go take money from that pot of money. There's concerns that he would take money from military construction projects around the country, and in general, sort of chipping into existing federal pots of money that are already in many ways being starved for resources because for the past several years, we've had Republican government in the House, the Senate, and the White House that has wanted to rein in spending. So from many points of view, there's already not that much money to go around to begin with. The administration has tried to assuage those concerns, saying we have enough money, we're going to make smart decisions, we'll take a little bit here, a little bit there, and again, this is a national emergency and we'll end up saving money in the future because we'll be creating more jobs. We won't have to have as much manpower at the border because we'll have this wall. But the reality is we're not going to know until we see a plan, until the president and his team start to actually put this emergency declaration into action. He just announced it on Friday. It's a long weekend. There's still a lot of steps he has to take going forward.
Sure. Emma, and I'm no constitutional scholar, although I am an attorney, but I think I know more about medical malpractice. So so here's my question.
You're already ahead of me.
Okay, that's fine. But, you know, we're all constitutional scholars in this great republic. So as far as I can divine and distill the argument, it's that basically it comes down to whether this is a military or a civilian expenditure of money, because you can justify it as a military expenditure, and we do have 4,000 troops down there. It's almost like asking if the dress is gold or blue. Remember that thing a few months ago? So you're going to have arguments on both sides, and that's why you even have conservatives. We're cucks and we're neocons and all that, and you know we still subscribe to the Weekly Standard that doesn't exist anymore. But I'm just saying, I'm saying that. It does bother us because Obama used the phone and the pen, and now Trump is using it, and we seem to be flip-flopping on this. So where does the legal argument go?
I mean, that's going to be the question, and the legal argument, right now, so new in this process, the legal argument is tied up very much in politics. So that's where people are going. The people who don't like this plan are saying that it's overreach. The people who do like this plan are saying that it's sufficient. Someone like, you played a clip of Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who didn't like it when Obama used, his phone and his pen to change immigration laws, even though he liked. So the thing that's interesting with someone like Lindsey Graham is he liked what Obama was doing in terms of creating more opportunities for immigrants to get legal status through the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which was Obama's executive order that's now going through the courts that President Trump is trying to redact. But he didn't like the way the president did it. So this is sort of the conflict for him right now, where he wants to support the president of his party doing something that originally, Graham was expressing some consternation about, saying, I'm not sure that this would stand up in the court of law. I'm not sure that this would go well, and has changed his tune and say, no, this is appropriate. This is the way to go. This is the only way to do it. So that's at this point, the legal argument is going to come together at a certain point, but right now the politics are what's really driving this conversation.
Yeah, and already the ACLU and the state of California is suing for an overreach of executive power. And I'm sure, I think six more states are going to be joining in on that lawsuit.
Yeah.
So we're
and those are states that you know they're seeing a constitutional problem because they don't like the policy. That's the reality.
Do we have to wrap up? Because I have a final question. No, I have a final question.
Well, then by all means, okay. Bruce Wolf.
Well, I hate to stand.
Emma, did you know that Bruce Wolf has a final question for you?
Well, here's the thing.
I'm over boiling with anticipation.
Well, here's
this
the
is
thing,
a very
Emma Dunn
for you,
of McClatchy. Here's the thing. It is President's Day, and I hate to sandbag you here, but it is President's Day.
Seriously?
Who was
who
was the 32nd president of the United States?
Emma, it's okay. I didn't know either.
No, I'm not even going to
try. We're
not going
to play your little reindeer games, Bruce.
All right. Okay.
I should have Wikipedia'd that before I came on.
That's a trick question. We actually skipped the 32nd president.
So I know things are shut down in Washington, D.C. today. What do you expect to happen tomorrow?
That there's not a government shutdown?
Yep.
What do I expect to happen? Well, nothing's going to happen at the Capitol tomorrow because they're in recess for a week.
Okay. Gosh, they take a lot
back
of breaks. You know, my co-host is on recess this week, too.
I bet
he knows who the 32nd president was.
Yeah, right.
FDR.
Well, they like to say that they issued many breaks to deal with various government shutdowns over the past several weeks. So they think they deserve a vacation. But they'll also tell you, we're not on vacation. We're meeting with constituents. We're holding town halls.
I love the town hall. Rotary clubs. Of course.
Lots of town halls.
All right.
All right, Emma, I'm sorry for sandbagging you. I'll never do it again because I'm never being invited back on this show. Thank you.
That is Emma Dumaine, correspondent for McClatchy, D.C. Thanks, Emma, for joining us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
So guess who's heading to the border?
Is this the theme for Empire?
I don't know.
Because I never watched the show. I don't feel I have standing to even talk about this because I would never dream of watching that show.
Really? Well, it's filmed here in Chicago. That didn't pique your interest to check it out.
So Chicago Fire. So is the NBC 5 Chicago News. I don't watch that either.
You know, my friend Sue made a vase for a scene in Empire where the lead lady takes the vase and she kicks it off the dining room table. She had to make 60 vases for that one scene.
Take 59. Jussie, you didn't get it right. You're written off the show. You don't know how to throw a vase, let alone a punch at two Nigerians.
Quickly, and we are going to talk about Jussie Smollett again at 8:38. Our good friend Paul Hubel will be here. Former police officer, current private investigator, was at that event yesterday where the Muslim community is demanding that Jussie Smollett be arrested. He was that there. And also new information that a grand jury is going to be convened probably today or tomorrow to begin possible indictments against Jussie Smollett. It's getting good.
Do we need a grand jury? Can't we just throw him in the clink?
Oh, no, no.
Throw him in with Officer Van Dyke in Danbury, Connecticut.
Let's make him sweat this out, shall we? Over the weekend, we're learning Illinois Republican Congressman, our good friend of the show, well, at least he used to be, Adam Kinzinger, is heading to the border. He has a two-week deployment to the Arizona border. He's going with the Wisconsin Air National Guard, of course, and the five-term congressman has served as a pilot, remember, with the Wisconsin Air National Guard for years, and he's going to deploy there. He served three previous tours along the southwest border and was also deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan.
So he's no longer a friend because he's against Trump?
Foreign
intervention?
We've had some interviews with him that got canceled for some reason, but we'll try to get him back on the show tomorrow. All right? We'll make an effort. Also, for the weekend, you have more and more Democratic lawmakers who want to actually take down the existing wall that we have.
Sure.
And none other than Beto O'Rourke, who's a congressman from El Paso, who grew up in El Paso, went to El Paso High School. He's calling for the current wall to come down.
I want to pass along from a question from a congressman who does not represent the border, but he is in Texas, Dan Crenshaw, who's a new member of Congress. He's been very outspoken in favor of the president's agenda on the border, particularly.
Right.
And he wanted to ask you, he tweeted this, so I'm just passing it along. It's not something he didn't text me. You know, would you take the wall down now, here?
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think if there's a referendum here in this city? that would pass?
So
I do. Here's what we know. After the Secure Fence Act, we have built 600 miles of wall and fencing on a 2,000-mile border. What that has done is not in any demonstrable way made us safer. It's cost us tens of billions of dollars to build and to maintain, and it has pushed migrants and asylum seekers and refugees to the most inhospitable, the most hostile stretches of the U.S.-Mexico border, ensuring their suffering and death. More than 4,000 human beings, little kids, women, and children, have died. They're not in cages. They're not locked up. They're not separated. They're dead over the last 10 years as we have walled off their opportunity to legally petition for asylum, to cross in urban centers like El Paso, to be with family, to work jobs, to do what any human being should have a right to be able to do, so, what we would do if faced with the same circumstances they were.
You know, we should tear down all the walls, the ports of entry, have a red carpet
for
the foreigners to come in. And you know what? That red carpet should lead right to the Oscar ceremony. And I want them to populate, at least be seat fillers for the Oscars, if not the hosts of the Oscars, because everybody, all these, you know, celebrities who have their walled off communities, they want to open up the borders. You know, it's fascinating.
You know what would happen if they took down the wall in El Paso? Are you kidding me?
Right. Remember the Alamo.
Talk about a takeover. Yeah, exactly. That's what would happen.
You know what's interesting? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, the economics guru?
Sure.
That's what I call
it. She threw on Amazon. She wanted to get rid of Amazon. They got rid of Amazon. One of her arguments was the jobs aren't going to go to people from Queens. They're going to go to people from Pittsburgh. So let me understand this. People from Pittsburgh are not allowed to come into Queens to get a job. But we're going to allow the foreigners to come in across the border.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good Monday morning. Happy President's Day. Amy Jacobson here. Bruce Wolf filling in for Dan Proft this week.
Good morning.
Yeah, did you watch the 60 Minutes interview last night?
No, because
with Andrew McCabe.
They left things out.
Well, what do you mean? No, this is what we learned. That somebody was going to wear a wire into the White House, and that man was Rod Rosenstein. And why was he going to do it? Because they did not like the tone President Trump was taking about the Russian probe.
We talked about why the president had insisted on firing the director and whether or not he was thinking about the Russia investigation and did that impact his decision. And in the context of that conversation, the deputy attorney general offered to wear a wire into the White House. He said, I never get searched when I go into the White House. I could easily wear a recording device. They wouldn't know it was there. Now, he was not joking. He was absolutely serious. And in fact, he brought it up in the next meeting we had.
Well, because Rod Rosenstein, when asked, he said, oh, that was just a joke. But it wasn't.
I never actually considered taking him up on the offer. I did discuss it with my general counsel and my leadership team back at the FBI after he brought it up the first time.
The point of Rosenstein wearing the wire into a meeting with the president was what? What did he hope to obtain?
I can't characterize what Rod was thinking or what he was hoping at that moment. But the reason you would have someone wear a concealed recording device would be to collect evidence. And in this case, what was the true nature of the president's motivation in calling for the firing of Jim Comey?
The general counsel of the FBI and the leadership team you spoke with said what about this idea?
I think the general counsel had a heart attack. When he got up off the floor, he said, that's a bridge too far. We're not there yet.
So let me get this straight. We in Chicago are consumed about some guy basically perpetrating a hoax, a fake hate crime. Meanwhile, we came this close to a coup in the United
States. Oh, yeah, because States. The two of them also discussed
right?
about... No, let me finish. They also discussed rounding up cabinet members and Vice Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment, saying that he's not fit for office. To get the latest on this and reaction, let's go to our good friend and returning guest, Ed Morrissey, senior editor for HotAir.com and columnist for the week. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, so what did you think of the big bombshell there on 60 Minutes last night?
Well, I was trying to decide which bombshell we were going to talk about, whether it was going to be a Jussie Smollett bombshell or the Andrew McCabe bombshell. A lot of bombshells going off around here. It was sort of leaked by Scott Pelley of CBS News, the whole 25th Amendment thing, and Rod Rosenstein wearing the wire, which was a story that was reported back in September. Yesterday, Fox News was reporting that former FBI General Counsel James Baker told House Judiciary and House Oversight Committees that McCabe and Lisa Page had come to him saying that they had at least two of Trump's cabinet members ready to sign on to a 25th Amendment push to get him out of office. So, you know, McCabe was saying on Friday, oh, no, he misunderstood. I wasn't the one pushing this. It was Rod Rosenstein who brought it up, and we just had one brief conversation about it. Apparently, last fall when Baker was testifying to the two House committees, he told a much different story than McCabe told on Friday in response to the blowback on this. About the best thing you can say here is that Andrew McCabe is not getting his story straight. Something very strange is going on here. And I know that Lindsey Graham is going to hold hearings at the Senate Judiciary Committee to try to figure out what was going on at the Department of Justice.
But considering Andrew McCabe's past, I mean, should people trust him?
No.
Remind us of what he did.
He got fired for lying. I mean, and he lied to FBI investigators, and he got fired a few days ahead of his retirement because of it. This is a guy who was very deeply involved in the decision to open up a counterintelligence operation against a presidential candidate. And at least from what we've found so far, there doesn't seem to be a lot of basis for that. And then you mix into that the idea that there was all these texts going back and forth between the FBI agents that showed an anti-Trump bias, and then you have this very strange idea coming out of the FBI and the Department of Justice that they can initiate a 25th Amendment removal of a president, which is absolutely not true. The Department of Justice has absolutely no role in that. The FBI has even less than absolutely no role in that. And it points to this notion that the whole thing was a politically orchestrated hit on Donald Trump, and it really saps the credibility of the counterintelligence investigation that was initiated, which was the basis of what Robert Mueller is doing right now. I think Robert Mueller must be looking at this and saying, you know, hey, thanks a lot, guys. You're really helping me out here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm a plaintiff's attorney, and I always like it.
And an all-around good guy.
Not really. When defendants are pointing the fingers, you know, you got at each other. They're, you know, joint tortfeasors. And because, you know, we were led to believe that, you know, these are these good old John Law types who, you know, follow the playbook. But they're arguing and accusing each other of lying right now. And it doesn't look very good. And it just, as you mentioned, it kind of eviscerates the whole raison d'etre for the Mueller investigation at this point.
Well, I think you're right. And by the way, thank you very much, because I love the term raison d'etre.
Sure.
And nobody ever says it anymore.
Well, I had it for dinner last night.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
A little flambé.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really great. You're absolutely correct, though, about this, Bruce, which is that the whole Mueller investigation is predicated on that counterintelligence probe that was opened up by the FBI by Andrew McCabe and others who have been shown to be at the very least reckless in how they approach their job, and you can also say probably at the least were inclined to abuse their power. I mean, you can't sit around the Department of Justice trying to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to convince cabinet members to throw out Donald Trump for firing your boss and not have people come to the conclusion that you're trying to abuse your power. And I think that's really the most egregious part of this. And it just bleeds all over Robert Mueller's investigation. Anything that comes from that source is, you know, fruit from the poison tree. Now, we talk about that in terms of Miranda, in terms of keeping evidence out. That's clear. You know, this is clearly more political than legal when it comes to what Mueller is doing here. But it's still going to taint everything that comes out of this.
All right. I wanted to switch gears and talk about what happened on Friday in the Rose Garden. President Trump declaring a national emergency along our border. So for me, it feels like he's trading a battle in Congress for one in the courts. But he took out the urgency out of the emergency when Peter Alexander from NBC News said, you know, why are you doing this? He goes, well, I don't have to do this, but I'm doing this.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you want somebody to say when you have to try to back up their claim in court. I mean, he's basically conceding the idea that this isn't the type of emergency that the legislation was meant to do. The problem with this, and I think that this is a terrible precedent to set. I think that Donald Trump shouldn't have done this. But the problem that that this really sets, or that this really reflects, is the fact that Congress gave presidents this power in the first place. If you need a national emergency declared, Congress is in session all year long. If it's a true emergency, they can come together and declare an emergency. It's not that difficult to do. And we've had this now for 40 years, often 43 years, I think, was passed in 1976. And there's been 60 emergencies declared. I mean, there's been 60 emergencies that a president has declared over the last 43 years. Every president has declared them. They're usually pretty mundane. And can anybody remember even five of these national emergencies?
Well, I remember after 9/11, I remember that. And I remember President Obama declaring a national emergency when it came to Dreamers' parents and deporting them. He halted their deportation.
Now, but Ed, Martha Raddatz said a clever one yesterday.
What?
Substituting for Stephanopoulos. She said to Jim Jordan, can you give me an example where a president asked for something that Congress rejected and the president went ahead and said he would do it anyway? And Jordan really didn't have an answer for that one. So there's a little distinction there.
Yeah, this is the reason why Congress never should have handed the authority over to the presidency in the first place, right? I mean, this is a mistake from the Congress in 1976, and it should be rectified. And I think it might be after this. I think Congress might want to take a look at this and repeal that law because it's unnecessary. And you're going to end up doing, if it wasn't Trump, it was going to be somebody else down the road. And Obama sort of kind of sidled up to that line with the DAPA-DACA emergency declaration
as Fred Flintstone who did that? I think Fred Flintstone did the DAPA-DACA. Look, Ed.
DAPA-DACA.
Yeah,
something else.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I think David French was the one who brought this out in National Review. But, you know, he's a cuck. So here's the thing. The distinction between a military use and a civilian use. And Trump is trying to make the argument that, well, we've got 4,000 troops at the border. This is a military use, but it's really not the same as a wartime situation. This is a civilian border, and you're basically, I mean, this isn't not like when the dress is the dress gold or the dress blue. I mean, this is really playing around with the language, isn't it?
Couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a bad precedent to set. I think it's something that shouldn't have happened, and Congress is not going to be able to stop it because they might be able to have enough votes to formally reject the declaration of emergency, but that formal rejection can be vetoed by Donald Trump, and they don't have enough votes to override a veto on it. And again, I think they're going to look at this and realize that they've kind of given away the candy store in terms of the direction of funding to the executive branch, and they're going to have to fix this at some point down the road. So I think that even in an emergency situation, you have the War Powers Act, which covers that type of thing, where you have to get troops someplace to deal with a threat to national security. And you can't call, it'll take Congress a few days to get together on that. The War Powers Act covers that. You don't need this emergency declaration mechanism that Congress gave Gerald Ford back in 1976.
You're very smart, and I love hotair.com, and I plagiarize it from all the time when I tweet. But here's the thing. Today is President's Day, and I'm going to sandbag you. We've been doing this with all
here
our
we
guests.
Go, Ed.
Can you name for me the 22nd president of the United States, Ed Morrissey? Can you name the
22nd president?
Yeah.
Chester A. Arthur was the 21st, so was it Benjamin Harrison?
I'm sorry. Here's a hint. I'll let you get the consolation prize. He was also the 24th president of the United States.
Oh, Grover Cleveland.
Okay, you get the consolation prize,
Ed. Look at you.
Very nice.
Ed, do you want to talk about Jussie Smollett? What do you think of what's going on? Isn't this crazy?
It's crazy, and I'll tell you this. I mean, I've written about it a little bit. We've written about it quite a bit at Hot Air.
Good.
I would just tell everybody to sort of, you know, hold their jets on this. Wait for the police or the grand jury. Apparently, TMZ's reporting that it's going to go to a grand jury next week. Mm-hmm. It certainly looks suspicious, and it looks suspicious to a lot of us right from the very beginning because it was just so over the top and so ridiculous. Plus, the idea that you had two guys in Chicago that, you know, voted for Donald Trump. I mean, that's one, maybe. Okay, but two, you know, that's...
Well, you know, they couldn't find a MAGA hat in Uptown.
They just got a red stocking cap.
Because there isn't one.
Right? Yeah. I mean, come on, right? I mean, it's Uptown Chicago. And so I would also say for everybody else is don't necessarily conclude that this is a hoax. Certainly be skeptical, and I would say at this point be extremely skeptical.
Wait a minute, Adam, I've done my victory lap already, and you're telling me I got to take it back?
Well, wait for the grand jury to come back and see what they have to say.
All
but
right.
I mean, there's no rush on this type of thing. And what the problem with this story always was that there was this jump to conclusions based on what is clearly a questionable claim, and using that to paint millions of people as racists and homophobes on the basis of something that may not be true at all.
Well, we
and it wouldn't
are.
Be the first time that that's
Come
happened.
Come on, Ed. We know. You know we're racists and homophobes. You know that.
Yeah, right. All right, Ed Morrissey, we're going to have to leave it there for today.
Thank
Senior
you.
Editor for HotAir.com and columnist for the week. Always a pleasure having you on, and
Thank
have
you,
a
Ed.
Great President's Day.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You want more than just the headlines? Find out what's going on and what it means with me, Dennis Prager, this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Perfect song, The Dream Police, because Jussie Smollett must have been dreaming to think that the police weren't going to catch on to his antics. Over the weekend, we're learning so much information, and now a grand jury is going to be convened this week to hand down an indictment against the Empire actor.
See, this is a win-win-win-win-win. He wins, he gets the publicity. So the Nigerian guys win, they get the publicity. The Chicago police, which, you know, has had a bad rap for quite a while, especially since Laquan McDonald, plaudits. The local news media did a good job on this. The national media was horrible on this. So there's a lot of winners in this. Why don't we all enjoy this?
Jussie just wants the truth to come out.
I think that what people need to hear is just the truth.
And when he was confronted by Robin Roberts saying, are you sure people are saying that this, not as a hoax, but this isn't, what happened isn't what really happened?
Who the would make something like this up or add something to it or whatever it may be. I can't even, I'm an advocate.
Oh, I mean, cry me a river. One person who's been all over this story, former Chicago police officer, current private investigator who lives in LA, which by the way, yesterday there was a rally. It was a civil rights advocate who wants Jussie Smollett to be arrested. They first supported him.
We have many members of the black community and the LGBT community who have been the victims of racism and hate crimes. So for Smollett to say that he was a victim of racism and hate crime, and we believe that is a lie, certainly is an injustice to those true victims of racism and hate crimes.
This guy is no descendant of Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton would stick with the hoaxer like Tawana Bradley.
Let's bring Paul Hubel into the conversation. Good morning, Paul, and thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning.
And we're here with Bruce. Bruce is filling in for Dan today. What do you think is going to happen in the coming hours, in the coming weeks on this case?
Well, I hope that Smollett does not believe that people are going to continue to drink his Kool-Aid over this because he's going to be falling apart. He's facing numerous charges, conspiracy for number one, the false police report for number two. There's even the issue of did he have insurance pay for the examination at the hospital. That could be insurance fraud. There's so many things that are going to bite him. He really does need to come clean.
Well, what about possibly lying to the FBI? Because Martha Stewart lied to the FBI, and she got thrown in jail. And others have lied to the FBI. That could be a big issue.
Well, not only lying to the FBI in this case, but if they can prove that Smollett was up to sending the letters with the Tylenol in it and the you know, looks like it was pictures drawn by a five-year-old, if they can prove that, that's even a much more serious crime. Smollett is looking at really serious time, maybe even a decade behind bars.
All right. Paul, let me ask you this. Can I ask you a question? I mean, because you've got a lot of experience in this. And, you know, at first, some of us were bamboozled. We wanted to believe that he'd believe his story.
I never
Now, of
to.
Course, well, I didn't, but, you know, I'm biased. I'm a MAGA guy. You know, I said, well, I don't wear a MAGA hat, but I voted for Trump. So I'm biased. I could never get on the jury. But we didn't want to believe the story. Now it looks like it's a hoax. I mean, it acts like a hoax. It walks like a hoax. But so it's a duck. But should we withhold judgment now because we haven't heard the whole thing? Is there any possible way, any scenario you could see, given the evidence that we have, that somehow he's innocent?
This is an investigation with the use of technology, credit cards, the Lyft application, surveillance video, or lack of it. There are so many things that data of the cell phone tower dump, the cell phone records, even though he did not want to turn over his cell phone, certainly a grand jury subpoena dumped on the phone companies would get everybody's records. And then also they recovered a cell phone from the Nigerian brothers. Mm-hmm. So realistically, all this data is really, excuse the expression, a noose around Smollett's neck. He's got nowhere to go.
Well, we're told when police raided the home of those two brothers, they did find magazines with pages torn out. So they're trying to determine if the missing pages are connected to that threatening letter that was sent 8 days before the alleged attack. But we're also learning, too, that they rehearsed this. I mean, he was so methodical and just sinister that they had a rehearsal where one of the brothers put the noose around his neck, poured bleach on him, the other brother had a red hat, maybe because he couldn't get a MAGA hat, and screamed out, you know, those homophobic slurs.
That it goes more to the conspiracy, which really carries the heavy prison time over just doing the act itself.
Well, is it possible?
I mean, this guy is in serious trouble.
Is it possible? Is it possible? Because, you know, based on your experience, that these guys actually did the attack, but Smollett did not arrange it. Is it possible? Will they be pointing fingers at each other now?
Well, you know, in a normal state of affairs, in the old days before the technology, that would be true. But I think we're going to find text messages. We're going to find certainly those phone calls. And also, data is going to show that these guys were together at certain times because of cell phone locations. So, I mean, realistically, Smollett's goose is cooked. The question is, what kind of a plea agreement his lawyers can arrange for him? He destroyed a really wonderful career for any young man. I mean, I can't imagine the damage he's done to himself, along with the betrayal of every African-American in America, every gay person in America, every one of his fans, every one of his friends. all these politicians. Mm.
You know, I don't know. You know, he's notorious. Mike Tyson wound up being in the Hangover after he was convicted of rape. We have second acts in America.
No, not that, I don't think he's going to have a second act. And all these politicians and all these Hollywood elites were falling all over themselves to get, you know, a statement out there first saying that we love you, Jussie, and it's going to be okay.
How embarrassing.
Yes. Also, too, there's more information about the Uber or cab ride they took home. They stopped halfway, got out of that car, and got into another car. So it was like a bad spy movie where they thought that their movements weren't going to be tracked. How important is it that that Uber was picked up?
Well, that's important. And again, we're going to go back to cell phone location positioning. And everything is going to match. And the brothers are going to have some explanation for that probably will fit like pieces in a puzzle very exactly. And again, that's stronger evidence of a conspiracy of the fact that they were all in this together. And the other thing is that there may be financial records of the payment. For example, maybe these brothers made deposits. Let's assume they got paid in cash. Maybe they made deposits to their bank accounts.
But Jussie will say that the money was for the physical fitness regimen.
Yeah,
that they
he
were
was
putting
their trainer.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to pay devil's advocate here. I don't have
facts. Yeah, I mean, the more lies that Jussie says, the more problems he's going to have. I mean, the evidence is damning. It's overwhelming. I've not seen a case that had stronger evidence, with data. I mean, this is, again, a data investigation.
And it brings back memory of Twanda. What was her name, Twanda?
Tawana Brawley.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, she came home. Well, she didn't come home. That was a problem. She was supposed to come home, didn't come home. And to cover herself, she used the ink marker and wrote all kinds of racial slurs on her body, puts herself in a dumpster, has herself found, and New York went into a major spasm that some racist rapist, white rapist, got a hold of this girl. And this went on for months. And Al Sharpton was leading demonstrations in New York. And finally, police were able to cut through the baloney. And she confessed, and the rest is history.
Except I don't think Sharpton has ever really apologized for that, or for Crown Heights, or for Freddie's Fashion Mart. No, no. He's immune. It's reparations to Al Sharpton. He gets to do that. I understand that.
Yeah.
All right, so yesterday you were at this, I don't know if it was a rally, but civil rights activist Najee Ali called
press
for
conference.
The arrest. Yeah, the press conference. And what was it like there? Were they legitimately angry at Smollett and his actions?
They were angry. I mean, I covered it. I put the video on my YouTube site, Crime File News.
Okay.
I mean, you can see it, and not all of it because it went on for about 10 minutes, but I put up about 5 minutes of it. And they really, they just want them to stop lying and to come forward. And they said that he endangered so many people because of creating the animosity back and forth, increasing the serious racial divide we have in this country, and also that there would be retaliation back and forth. And they said it's got to end, and who could not agree with that?
Wow. All right. Paul Hubel, again, Crime File News, that's on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I also have a blog, crimefilenews.com, and I haven't put it on my blog yet. I should have, but I will this morning.
You got to get on that. It's all, well,
People are off on President's Day. They got time to read blogs.
Yes, you're right. And it's only 7 o'clock there in L.A.
Yeah.
Paul, as always, a
Should
pleasure to
Paul
have you on
Paul
the show.
Should we ask Paul a president's name? Should we do
all
that?
All right, you know what?
All right, Paul, okay. I hate to sandbag you right here, but it is President's Day, and we're testing all our guests today. Can you name the 35th president of the United States?
Oh, God.
I know.
Truman, I don't know.
he was the good old number 33 president of the United States. That would be John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. All right, thanks. All right. That's all right,
hey,
Paul. He's
Bruce,
annoying.
Bruce, Amy, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Thank and again, you. Crime File News, and then crimefilenews.com is his blog. Thanks, Paul, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Thanks.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook. Or read about it in the paper. Hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.